It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? I'm glad that you've joined us today. And please, you turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3, verse. We're going to read once again, and we've read it several times, from verse 10. We're going to add the 15th verse. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 through 15. And I want you to follow along with me. And while you're looking that up in your Bibles, I'd love to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. And we're just one block north of the Dairy Queen. And I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. I'd love for you to join us and study the Word of God today with us. And so please, as you have your Bibles out now, I want you to follow along with me. Philippians chapter 3, beginning to read with verse 10. We'll begin to study just a little bit in the 12th, 13th, 14th, and 15th verse today. But I want to read from the 10th verse on. Philippians chapter 3, beginning to read with verse 10. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I have already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark of the prize for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal unto even this unto you. And let's go to the Lord in prayer now before we begin the precious study of His Word. Father, I thank You that we can come and enjoy Your power and Your presence. I ask that You'll just show us today exactly what You want us to do. And I ask that we be very good to listen, very quick to listen, very quick to respond. Not only that we be hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word. And Father, I ask that You would make it very and so clear that we are lost sinners and we need to be saved. And the only way to be saved is through the Lord Jesus. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary that each one of us can be saved. Everyone can be saved if they'll just come by faith to Jesus and get that new heart, get their sins forgiven. Oh, the wretched life and the way we live, Father, we need the power and the presence of Jesus. So please, Father, I ask that You'll convict the hearts as we study the Word today, that each and every one, young and old, will decide today, choose today, Jesus. And please, Lord, guide them to the cross through the study of the Word today, that they will know so clearly that the sacrifice that was offered upon the cross of Calvary is all that's needed. We don't have to work our way there, but we can just come by faith to You, Jesus, and we're saved. Sins forgiven. Set free. Father, please that You'll show us that today. And show us then the walk that we need to have. And through Your servant Paul, that we may see also the walk that we should have as servants to You. Now please that You would guide and lead us through the study today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a joy to study the Word of God. And we have been looking at this man, Paul, and the life that he is leading and the proclaiming that he, the joy he loves to proclaim of the Word of God. He is in Rome. And while he's in Rome, he is writing this letter to the church of Philippi. And as he's writing this church, why we find that there were servants from Philippi, from the church, other believers that have come to help and to minister unto Paul. And Paul is sending them back, giving them a walk into the showing them so clearly the joy of being a believer. And even with Paul being in prison, he still loves and enjoys ever so much telling people about Jesus and telling them the walk that they should have and the talk that they should have. Now, as we look through here, we find again, just in a very quick summary, review, in the 10th verse, Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. That was Paul's life. He wanted to. He wanted to know with every breath he took. He wanted to know Jesus. And I ask that you would walk the same way and not to know Him as Savior. Because Paul, many years ago on the road to Damascus, was saved. But from that day on, he has grown, and he wanted to, and he would search the heart of God always to know more and more about Jesus. And we need to walk that same way. And the joy that we have, the power that we have in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, the power that we have received in the forgiveness of sins through His death, His precious blood, it's just a joy to walk after Jesus. And He is my Savior. I trusted Him back in 1975, and I love walking after the Lord Jesus. And let today be the day that you trust in Jesus and begin that walk. Let's look at some verses of Scripture here. We've kind of worked through last week in verse 12, Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Oh, the power and the strength that Paul desired to have. He said, not as though I had already attained, either had already were already perfect, but I follow after. Oh, that we would look to the Lord Jesus. There's never a time that you're going to be perfect, even in the Lord Jesus, until we get to heaven. Now, in God's eyes, as He looks down, He doesn't see your sin. He doesn't see the old wicked flesh. He doesn't see your mistakes and our shortcomings. He sees the blood of Jesus. And when He looks down and God the Father looks down to see us, and when He sees the blood of Jesus, He sees a perfect vessel. Oh, my friend, to have the God of this of the universe to look down, only God, there's only one God, and to see me, and to see me perfect. Oh, my friend, how much time does my heart and my life want to spend serving Him and praising His name and fellowshipping with Him when He has loved me so much to do that, to make me perfect? Now, that's what happened the day I was saved. And as I already shared, back in 1975 is when I was saved. And so, you know, we're looking over 22 years that I've been saved, that I'm walking after the Lord Jesus. And in that 22 years, then, there's a cleansing that started back in 75 upon the day I met Jesus. And that work and that walk has slowly and through the washing of the Word has cleansed my life. Not only am I perfect in God's eyes, but I am working towards to be perfect. Now, I'll never attain that. I'll never get that far until the day I meet Jesus face to face. But the walk, the cleansing, purifying, holy walk that we should have, and my friend, each day I feel closer unto the Lord, and my life is closer, and oh, I'm so far away. I'm so far from ever getting to that place of perfection, but I'm going in that direction. Paul desired to go in that direction, not that he could claim he was perfect by any means, but that he could walk after, and he knew that there's one thing that pleases our Lord, and that is that we walk a holy, separated life, that we confess Jesus as our Savior and share that great news with others, that they too would come to Jesus and be saved. Paul loved to do that. Paul continued to do that. But we have here two words. In the 12th verse, we have, again, about the center of it, but I'll begin at the first. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. Paul says, I'm not perfect. God's eyes, yes. In my eyes and man's eyes, no. But the word perfect there means perfection. He desired, he said, I know I'm not perfect, but I follow after. I want to be pleasing unto the Lord. I want to walk a godly, separated, holy life. I want to do everything God wants me to do. That's what he wanted. And I hope that's the hope of your life, that's the prayer of your life, that you go unto the Father and you say, please make me a vessel. Now, you can't do that until you know Jesus as your Savior. So please today come to Jesus, ask Jesus to save you and to walk after the Lord Jesus. We also have the word perfect up in the 15th verse. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. Now that word perfect in the 15th verse is to be mature. That doesn't mean that they don't sin. That doesn't mean that there is that you don't make mistakes. But it means that to be mature. And to be mature is to study the Word of God, to search the Word of God, desire the Word of God, and then do what we're told to do. And there builds a growth just as you mature and gain knowledge of this world and knowledge of maybe your job and how to do a certain job that you're being trained to do. Maybe you've went to college and through your college years you have gained knowledge to perform a certain duty. And so you can go out into the workplace and you can do that because you've been taught, you've been trained. Well, that's the only way we become mature is the same, only we are trained by the Holy Spirit through His holy, precious Word. Now, there's no other way. We enjoy His training. Now, He uses instruments as the local church. He uses people as Sunday school teachers and preachers to tell us and to instruct maybe a very a dear friend to you that has helped you find the Word of God and find the truths of the Word of God. Maybe that good friend brought you to Jesus, and now that good friend is taking a time, and it seems as though day by day you walk closer unto the Lord Jesus, and it's because this friend is helping you, and we praise the Lord. God's given us the church, and He tells us where two or more are gathered, I will be there in a very special presence and very special power. And so you see, He calls us unto the local church to study His Word. He has given us the local church in each area, and we need to enjoy it and become mature. We need to grow. And so we have two different words there of perfect. One again is the 12th verse, and He says either we're already perfect, I am not perfect, but as it says there, but I follow after because I want to be like Jesus. That's the problem today. We spend more time trying to be like the world, and we don't want to be like Jesus. Or we say we do. We come to church. Maybe we come to Sunday school. Maybe we darken the door every time it's open. We're in the house of God and listening to the Word of God. But then we go back out, and we just kind of live the way we like to live, and we're not listening. We're not hearing what God's saying. I ask that you listen very carefully unto the Word of God. And if you listen to your preacher and your preacher is teaching you something contrary to the Word of God, then you need to tell him so. And if he has just missed the Lord, pray for him. If he continues to preach false doctrine, maybe your church has doctrine that is contrary to the Word of God. It is tradition and not the Word of God. Then you need to consider to get out of that church and get into a Bible-preaching, soul-winning church, because this life is too short. We're told it's just as a vapor. That's how fast it is. And we need to be busy about doing the Word of God, work of God, and the will of God. And it's very difficult to do that when we've got to kind of sort out what is truth and what isn't truth. Go to some place that preaches the Word of God that you can enjoy and fellowship and grow and become mature and get out there and start winning souls for Jesus. We have the desire of Paul is to do that, is to be just like Jesus and to bring people to Him. He wants to do that. He wants to be holy, be separated, and totally contrary to today's ways. Everything is compromise and give up this and go this way. And we are not setting our eyes upon Jesus to live as He wants us to live and to be as He wants us to be. We're too busy trying to get along with everybody here on this old wicked earth, and that's just making us filthy and dirty. And we need to set our eyes upon Jesus as Paul did. He set his eyes upon Jesus. And I ask you to do the same thing. Please that you look unto the Lord Jesus. Now, we have a little bit of a comparison here, and I'm afraid this is what happens to some of us. And back in Revelation chapter 3, is the first one, and it's concerning the church of Laodicea. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. Now, I hope that you turn to that while I take a few minutes and turn to it. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. It says, "And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea, of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works. Thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. I'll throw you up. I'll vomit you out," the scripture tells us. "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." Boy, does that sound like the world today? And doesn't that sound like the church today? You listen to all the people who are so willing and so anxious to give up their stand upon the Word of God. Many of them have no idea what they really believe, and so I guess it's not a big deal to them. They're already lukewarm. God says, "I'd rather have you mad at me, or either against me or for me," but this nonsense of being halfway between. And you know, that's just like somebody that you talk to. If you go to them and you're face to face with this individual and you ask them a question and they tell you an answer, and normally that type of a person will agree with you, and they'll always agree. They won't tell you the truth, they'll just agree with you. Well, they can go down the street another half a block and run into somebody else that they know, and they'll get discussing the same thing, but the other person will have a totally different view. And you know, that person that's lukewarm will agree with the other person just as he agreed with you, which is two totally different answers, two different sides. But you see, he talks out of both sides of his mouth. He's lukewarm, wants to get along with everybody, doesn't want to cause any tribulation, any trials, any trouble, and so he just agrees, you know. And I run into so many people that's that way. Nobody, and the biggest thing is that it's not that they're really just agreeing with everybody to keep everybody happy. Most cases, they don't know. And if they do know, they're too lazy to stand up on the Word of God and say, "That's a lie. That's contrary to the Word of God. I can't do that. I can't be with this group of people. I can't do this. I can't do that because it's contrary to the Word of God." But instead of that, my friend, instead of that, what they do is they just go along. Everybody goes along. It's been sad to watch that take place in the last few years. People have begun to compromise and give up what they knew was right and knew was true. And I don't know whether it's because they're too lazy to trust the Word of God and walk after, too lazy to fight and stand for the Word of God. I don't know what it is, but it makes me sick. Well, this makes God sick, doesn't it? It's very clear here. "So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." That's the way God looks at it. "I'm going to throw up. Well, that's about what it just turns my stomach when I hear and see people that are walking away from the power and the truth and the Word of God." Now let's look at another church here. And if you'll just turn back one page in your Bibles, it's Revelation chapter 2, verse 8. Revelation chapter 2, verse 8, a little church named Smyrna. And let me read through a few verses of there. Revelation chapter 2, verse 8. "And unto the angel of the church of Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works, and tribulation, and poverty, but thou art rich." What did he say about this other church back here? Let's flip back now. "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked." You see, they thought they were rich, but God calls them poor. God calls them wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Well, let's look at this little church back over here now in Revelation chapter 2, verse 8. He says, I know thy works and tribulation, that's verse 9, and poverty, but thou art rich. Totally different. Man says in the church of Laodicea, I'm rich, I have need of nothing. The church of Smyrna was poor, had need of many things concerning the world is concerned, but God called them rich. God called the church of Laodicea poor, blind, wretched, and naked. But thou art rich, verse 9 says, and I know the blasphemy of them that say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. My friend, you hearing that? He's talking about church members. I've heard him. God says, I know. I hear him. I see him. And they say they're Jews, just like today. They say they're church members. They say they're Christians. But they are the church, they are the synagogue of Satan. That's what the Word of God says. That's what he's talking about. Smyrna had their trouble right inside their doors. But verse 10 says, Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. I love the study and the sweet scripture verses in the seven churches of Revelation. And we've just talked very quickly about two of them. The church of Laodicea, which made God sick. And the church of Smyrna. That he could say to them, you're rich because you know me. And you're walking for me. Even if you get thrown into prison. You don't think about a literal devil, do you? Well, what did it tell us there in the middle of that? Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. There's a literal devil out there that's trying to deceive you, and he's doing a mighty fine job. So I guess you got to make your mind up. Come Sunday morning, you walk into church. Are you walking into the synagogue of Satan, or are you walking into the house of God? The outward appearance will have no change. One can be just as fancy as the other. One can be just as broken down as the other. One can be full of people just as the other. But one can be the synagogue of the devil, of Satan. You say, we're not Satan worshipers. If you have left the Word of God and compromised the Word of God, you don't have the power of God, and there's only one other choice for you. I ask that you awaken today. Look into the Word of God. See your mistakes and repent. Turn your heart unto Jesus. Please turn unto the Lord Jesus today and stay upon His truths and knock this compromise and nonsense off. Begin to stand today for Jesus. He wanted to attain. He wanted to seize it. He wanted to have it. He wanted to apprehend it. He wanted to obtain, to comprehend it and obtain it. And we talked about that last week. Now let's look down at verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. One thing I do. That's part of the problem today. The church has become a social club, and they don't remember that there's one thing to do. And that's to please Jesus. And we please Jesus by walking once again a holy separated life. And when I miss God, I go before the Lord Jesus and I says, please, will you forgive me for the mistakes I've made? And He does. He sets me free and He places me back into fellowship with the Lord. But the problem is today that we've divided our attention. We are looking too many different directions. Paul says there's one thing that I do. There's one thing that I do. James 1:8 says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You get a compromise in church, and you get a church full of compromising people, you are worthless. Worthless unto the Lord. You just as well be a social club somewhere. You just as well take the name of whatever church is there, and you just will take that down, put up Lodge. That's just as well. You just as well do that. And the sad thing is, my friend, you don't even know it. You don't even know that you have left the power of God. Because you've listened to some preacher preach to you and you haven't been in your word to know that he's preaching false doctrine to you. You've been in that church so many years. Your granddad and your daddy and you raised up in that church, and I know it's a good church and I'm not leaving that church. Well, that church, through the years, has it continued to compromise so slowly that you've gotten to the point that you no longer sit with your Bible open in your lap, praising God, saying amen now and then when the preacher's preaching the word. Well, maybe the preacher isn't preaching the word, so there's nothing to say amen about. But do you hear what I'm saying? Have you held on to something that's no longer there? Maybe at one time the church you're in was such a strong church. The reason I spend so much time talking about the need to have the truth and stay upon the truth is because I want you to have the power of God. I want you to be saved. First of all, I want you to come to Jesus and recognize that He had died on the cross for you. He's come to seek and to save those that are lost, and that's you, unless you've come to Jesus. And if you hear me time after time, and maybe you've shut the radio off and you thought, well, today I'm going to turn Larry back on again. I'll just see what he's got to say. If he's still preaching about that Jesus, I'll turn him off again. Well, that's a choice you can make. But I hope today you listen to that and you recognize that you're lost and you need Jesus as a Savior. He is the only Savior. He died on the cross of Calvary for you. Will you please come by faith to Him? He's drawing you right now. And I ask that you listen to that calling and you come to Him. And then you begin to walk in Jesus. And I'm so afraid that so many compromising people and compromising churches, the people, they're not saved, and that's the reason they can sit there in that dead church. But maybe you're different. Maybe you got a new heart. Maybe you are saved. But because you've just been rocked to sleep so ever so slowly, ever so gently by the old devil himself, that you're not recognizing that your church has drawn away and has left the presence of God, and you're a church of Laodicea. You're just lukewarm. Just lukewarm. I ask you that you open your eyes today. If you've just been saved right now, I ask that you begin to search your precious word and read that precious word. Go back in the book of John there and just take your time and slowly read that and let the Holy Spirit get you a good King James Bible. It's a good cross-reference Bible so that you can look up all the cross-references, because it helps so much, to especially as a young Christian, even as an adult, you to look up one verse of Scripture, another verse of Scripture, another verse of Scripture. It's so much joy and makes the Word of God so full, and you can see how that it's one. It never disagrees with itself. Oh, it's a joy to study the Word of God, the truth. But when you begin to compromise and change, then there's nothing solid. And you begin, even if you're saved, then the next generation sure won't be. Because you're not giving them the truth. And if you're not giving them the truth, the power of God's not there. You're sending your child, your grandchild, your great-grandchildren to hell if you're staying in a compromising church. Paul says, I know one thing, and that one thing is Jesus. I know one thing. I do one thing. Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 3. When they were back in Jerusalem and they were rebuilding the temple and rebuilding the walls, and they come for him, and he says, not me. I'm doing a great work. I cannot come. Oh, that we would look at the work of the Lord Jesus in the manner that, no, I don't have time for that because I've got to tell somebody about Jesus. I don't have time for that because I've got a Sunday school class to prepare for. No, I'm going to be there Sunday morning because I got somebody to talk to about Jesus. There's one thing I do. How much time do you spend in the study of the Word of God? In the prayer time that you should have? How much time do you spend serving Him? How much time? My friend, we're talking about Jesus. So I'm going to ask you this question. What are you going to do about Jesus?